بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، ما بعد. عن ابي امامه صدي بن عجلان الباهلي رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يخطب في حجه الوداع فقال: اتقوا الله وصلوا خمسكم وصوموا شهركم وادوا زكاه اموالكم واطيعوا امراءكم تدخلوا جنه ربكم. رواه الترمذي في اخر كتاب الصلاه، وقال: حديث حسن صحيح. The narrator of the hadith is Abu Umama Bahili radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This was a Sahabi who lived a major portion of his life in Syria after accepting Islam. He was amongst the last of the Sahaba that passed away in Syria. He passed away in Homs in the 81st year of Hijrah. 250 ahadith are narrated from him. In this hadith, we find the expression, he says, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, whilst he was giving khutbah, sermon in Hajjatul Wada, that is in the farewell pilgrimage or in the farewell journey of his Hajj. We find that many ahadith, this expression is found. Kana Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bi Arafah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Arafah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Mina. Or I heard Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying this in his Hajjatul Wada. We find that this last journey, or the last Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was an epic event in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we find that majority of the Sahaba took part in this particular journey. And many of them, because we find this expression, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said during the khutbah that he gave in Hajjatul Wada on several occasions, that Asa Allah talqani ba'da ami hada, that perhaps after this year you will not see me anymore. So Sahaba in their hearts realized, many of them, that this was basically the dying moments of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they had almost what we may call microscopic vision on every movement of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nowadays we find that there's a dangerous mindset that has entered into many of us. A lot of time we go to ulama, we ask people about something, is this sunnat? Is a certain action sunnat? But Sahaba ikram, they, like I said, microscopic vision, what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. And the moment they observed any action of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even at times it was an action that outwardly had nothing to do with deen. For example, many years later, after the Hajjatul Wada, Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma says, I was accompanying my father on one journey towards Makkah Mukarramah. We passed a certain point and my father Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu tripped. There was some, obviously outwardly, ostensibly some obstacle. But on closer inspection I realized that there was no obstacle. So why did he trip? So he mentioned to me that when I was on the journey of Hajj with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and we passed the spot, my Nabi tripped. So I, emulating the practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, made as if I was tripping. Now to this extent, they would adhere to every practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In every rakat of every salah, we make this dua, Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, Ya Allah give us hidayat, Ya Allah give us hidayat, Ya Allah give us hidayat. And hidayat is the most important thing, it's the only thing that Islam, it's the only thing that is farz for us to make dua for. Allah Ta'ala has given us one Quranic prescription, Quranic nuskha, how to get hidayat. Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِن تُطِيعُوهُ تَهْتَدُوا وَإِن تُطِيعُوهُ تَهْتَدُوا, that follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, bring sunnah in your lives. Bring sunnah in your lives and Allah takes upon himself, تَهْتَدُوا, Allah will give you hidayat. So we find that this is the road to hidayat, this is the road to guidance. This is the road to bringing our lives on deen, to bring the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our lives. Coming back to what I was saying earlier, people ask this question, is something sunnah? Is this sunnah? Sahaba asked this question, what it meant, that I want to bring it in my life. It's more valuable than the whole world and whatever it contains. We ask this question, why? In other words, if we establish something, it's sunnah, it's okay to leave it out. It is okay to leave it out. Why? It is only sunnah. We find this is where we are damaging and harming our deen. This is where, in fact, indirectly we are insulting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we ask him this question, that is it sunnah? So it is very, very important that we change our mindset. Ish, muhabbat, love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam starts with this, that I want to emulate and bring in my life every sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So coming back to this riwayat, the Sahabi Abu Umama Bahili radiallahu ta'ala says that I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, whilst he was giving khutbah in Hajjatul Wada, he said, ittaqullah, fear Allah. This is because of this opening expression. This hadith is mentioned in this chapter, Babu Taqwa, the chapter on taqwa or piety. The first expression Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, fear Allah. In other words, adopt taqwa in every of your practices. Thereafter he said, make your 5 times daily salah. Fast in the month of Ramadan. Fulfill or discharge your zakat. And obey your leaders, those who are your amir. Tadkhulu jannata rabbikum. Bring these things in your life. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that you will enter jannat. In other words, jannat will become wajib for you. We find in another similar narration like this. One sahabi says, ataytu nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa huwa bi arafah. I came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whilst he was in Arafah, that is in his Hajj, and I said, look at the ajeeb manner in which the sahabi puts this question. He says, sintani as'aluka anhuma ma yunjini min an-nar wa ma yudkhilunil jannah. He says, ya Rasulullah, I only want to ask you two things. What will the effect of these two things that I am asking you? Two things. One is, I want you to tell me something that will save me from Jahannam and enter me into Jannat. Save me from Jahannam and enter me into Jannat. Only these two things I'm asking you about. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam found this amusing, the way the Sahabi put this question. So he said, your question is very brief. However, the subject matter of what you have asked is very great and very extensive. Nevertheless, now that you have asked this, understand this from me. What he asked, show me two things that will save me. I'm asking you two things. I want to be saved from Jahannam and I want to enter into Jannat. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the same vein gives a brief response. What is the response? He says, U'budillaha wa la tushrik bihi shay'a. In this hadith, ittaqullah, fear Allah. In that riwayat, just this change is found in the hadith. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, worship Allah and do not ascribe partners with Him. And then the rest of the hadith is similar. وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ الْمَكْتُوبَةَ وَأَدِّ الزَّكَاةَ الْمَفْرُوضَةَ وَصُمْ رَمَضَانَ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, make your 5 times salah, discharge your zakat, fast in the month of Ramadan. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whatever you like that people should do for you, do for them. And whatever you dislike that they should do towards you, don't do for them. You will enter into Jannah. So you find that very, very brief. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa is giving us a nuskha, a prescription. We find these ahkamat of Allah, what we refer to the basic fundamental pillars of Islam. Many of us take them lightly. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa is saying here, make your salah regularly, properly. Fast in the month of Ramadan, discharge your zakat. And whoever Allah has appointed as an ameer over you, obey that person. Allah will give you Jannat. So Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to make amal.